What's up, everyone? Welcome into the Barn Social Hour. My name is Hunter Bussey. Next to me is Kyle Rush. And Kyle, let's just hop right into it. The Protect College Sports Act. It has been proposed as of this month by Ted Cruz and Maria Cantwell. It's basically to regulate college athletics and to, I mean, basically it's in the bill itself, the Protect College Sports Act, to basically save college sports. And I kind of want to go into just some of the talking points on that.
First off, before you do that, like, yeah, how could we not come up with a better name?
I know. Yeah.
Like, give me an acronym. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they love acronyms in Washington.
And they just threw this together. They're like, yeah, just call it the Protect
College. I mean, I will say this. There's no doubt what this bill is for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's for protecting college sports. But come on, man. Come on, Ted. Let's get us an acronym going. Like, I don't know what it would be. I mean, ChatGPT could come up with something better, like within 2 or 3 seconds, I would imagine.
Yeah, they got back in the office. Yeah. What do you want to call this one? Let's call it the Protect College Sports Act.
Hold on. What's the goal? What do we want to do? Well, Ted, we really need to protect college sports. That's it. But let's call it the Protect College Sports Act.
Not only that, you're getting a promotion. You're now my assistant.
Now, I will say this, again, before we jump into it.
Yeah.
The fact that you actually do have two people on both sides of the aisle,
mm-hmm,
and not like Tommy Tuberville leading the charge by himself solo or Donald Trump leading the charge solo. The fact that it's two folks on both sides of the aisle actually makes me feel like this thing could get some legs. You know what I mean? And I kind of feel like this would be an easy win for both sides, don't you?
I do too.
If you could actually get something done, it feels like it would be an easy win.
Yeah, and, you know, I think I agree with you 100%. The fact that it's coming from both sides of the aisle is a really good thing for this to move forward quickly, I hope. But we'll see. We'll see. And I think some of the, you know, the main, I guess you can say, meat and potatoes of this act, if you will, the Protect College Sports Act, is really interesting. And let's go ahead and just hop into it. So the Lane Kiffin rule, basically the Lane Kiffin rule is you cannot accept another job and leave in the middle of the season, during the playoff. Basically, if you accept a new job, it has to be after the season is over, after the national championship is over, done. Dunsky. For those that have been living under a rock, Lane Kiffin left Ole Miss during a run that they were going. I mean, they were literally at one point in the semifinal to go on to the national championship. They almost won it without him, which would have been hilarious.
Probably would have won it.
I do too. I really think if they didn't have to face Miami, they would have won it. But not the case. I like this a lot, and I find it really funny that Lane Kiffin now has a rule named after him.
I do too, and he deserves it. But this is a weird one, and let me walk this out, Hunter, and you tell me what you think about this. So it's called the Lane Kiffin rule, but Lane Kiffin didn't choose to leave Ole Miss. He was forced to leave Ole Miss by Ole Miss's athletic director. Mm-hmm. Remember, he wanted to do both. So he's kind of catching shrapnel here. And I will say this, maybe the rule means you can't even accept a job or entertain a job. So, like, take John Summerall, for example.
Right.
Okay, John Summerall did both, and everybody was cool with it. Like, he accepted the Florida job, and then he worked Tulane into the playoffs, and then he went to Florida after it was over. Actually, not after it was over. He's kind of doing both at the same time. So how does that work? So do you just say you can't even entertain a job, period, until your season is 100% done? Like, you play your last game, you can't accept and just say, okay, I accept that job, but I'm not going to work it until I finish my season? Or is it like, no, you just can't do it, period? Like, how does that work? I know we don't have the details, how would that play out? Like, how does that make sense with the calendar the way it is now?
Yeah, and the fact that they're, you know, talking about expanding it to 24 teams, and it doesn't look like the college football season is going to end till like literally the end of February.
Well, the one good thing about the 12 game playoff expansion is like the way they worked it would you would 100% end the season the second weekend in January, whereas right now you're going to end it. I'm sorry, that's the 2014 playoff. The 12 team, like this month or this year, it's not going to end. I think the championship game is like January 25th or something. So, yeah, that's tough. Like, so how does that work?
It's a mess. It's just, and this is why the bill itself is being made, because it is such chaos. It is the wild, wild west. And the fact that, and, you know, I said it a minute ago, the fact that they've named something after Lane Kiffin is just perfect, because you know he's loving it. He loves the attention. I mean, he's just, that's just how he is.
Yeah, it's probably not a negative to him.
No.
You know, he probably digs it that you're like, yeah, I got my name in a bill, or like my name, they're talking about me in the Senate. You know, they're trying to come up with a rule because of something I did. Like, he probably gets off to that.
Yeah. He's probably like, I am the face of college football right now.
let's talk about this. Okay, so let's do it from an Auburn scenario. Okay, so Auburn gets done with their season. You fire Hugh Freeze within, you know, 3 or 4 games left, or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. South Florida had a bowl game. Okay, so South Florida's bowl game was, let's see when it was. South Florida bowl game was on, where was it? What date? Let's look up the date.
It was in,
I thought it was close to the end of December 17th.
Yeah, okay? It was like mid-December.
All right, so if Auburn, under the way this thing works, is Golish would have been required to coach his team through December 17th. Mm-hmm. Now, does that mean he could accept the job as soon as kickoff, or as soon as the clock expires? Or does that mean that he could have accepted the job, but he couldn't leave and do any work for Auburn until, you know, the clock expires on December 17th? Because remember, signing day for high school was like December the 4th or something, or 3rd or something like that.
Yeah.
When was early signing day 2025?
That sounds right. Yeah, that sounds right.
Look, let me hold on 1 second.
Yeah.
I can't find it. When was early signing day? It was the first Wednesday in December.
Okay.
So it was like, again, like maybe the 3rd. Oh, December 3rd. Yeah, December 3rd. So you're 2 weeks after signing day. It wouldn't have affected Auburn for the portal, but for high school recruiting, like you're essentially screwed, because you would think you're hiring a coach who should be playing in the postseason,
right,
in some form or fashion. You're trying to upgrade. So if you are trying to hire a new coach, you're basically, I guess, going to have to write off the high school recruiting class for the year that you're in, which is okay because you got the portal. But
yeah, you got the portal. Yeah. But and now, I know some people, you know, they, you know, we see it all the time. It's like, how are we, you know, dead last in this or this and that? And it's like, the portal is a good thing. Like, that's why it's there. You know what I mean? So
you can supplement there for sure.
Yeah.
And then if you're trying to hire a guy from the playoffs, you're trying to hire a guy out of the playoffs. I mean, if they go deep at all, like, you could start getting into when the portal opens, and then you're really in a bind because there's only one portal period. So they're going to have to really think that one out more than just simply the way it sits. Like, the way it's spelled out right now, like, they're going to really have to work on that, because there's a lot of pitfalls, you know, that could really hold coaches up from, you know, upward. Like, think about a guy like Golish going up a conference. It's gonna make it tough, I think you're just gonna have to, based off the letter of the law right now, you're just basically sacrificing a high school recruiting class and just hoping to God the guy can get there in enough time to get ready to go through the portal and build a team for year one.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's not perfect, but it's a step in the right direction.
Sure,
and you're gonna have to figure out the whole dates and everything, and maybe they. I doubt they will do this, but do you think they adjust maybe like National Signing Day and like push it back? Or because of how everything is played out, it's just impossible to move.
Well, with kids enrolling early, mm-hmm. it just makes it so tough because, you know, kids are enrolling now and going through bowl practices. You know what I mean? They're not playing, but like kids are enrolling a lot of times and they're getting that. It's like having two springs for a freshman. Yeah. So what do you do? Like, I don't know how you fix that unless you move signing day to like August.
Which
you know what I mean? Move signing day back to like August before their season starts. But then you can't evaluate, you know, you can't evaluate them throughout their senior season. And then like, what if they get injured? You don't want to have signing day during the season because that's a huge distraction from the kid's senior or senior season.
Right.
I don't know what you do.
Yeah, it's a mess. It is.
Here's another question. Do you even need signing day anymore?
That's what I'm saying.
Do you need signing day? Because you can actually sign. I can sign a scholarship. I can enroll and go through practices. And then when the portal opens up, I can still go in the portal in that short period of time. It happened. I think a kid from Oregon did it.
Mm-hmm.
The couple kids from Michigan did it. Now they had a coach get fired, but you could sign, enroll, and then still go in the portal before the spring semester starts. So what's the point of signing day anyway?
Yeah,
maybe that's it. Maybe you just say screw signing day, and you know what? You can just recruit all the way up until class starts. So kids can decide whatever they want. Whatever they want, you just recruit all the way up till class starts.
I know some of the college football purists might not like that, but I agree with you because you're gonna have to. Something's gonna have to be sacrificed to make this.
What's the point of signing day anymore?
Yeah, yeah.
What does signing the paper do?
That could be a topic on its own.
That could be a show. That could be a whole show. Yeah. There's so much more to talk about. Like we got some other stuff. This bill's pretty crazy, and it could again. I kind of like the direction they're going in, but you could do a whole show on that.
Yeah, you could. But you know what else is really cool to do a show on, but we can't because it's in every show? AUShirts.com.
Yes.
Go to AUShirts.com. Get all your gears from all the shows at the bar, and you see some of the options on your screen. We have many more at AUShirts.com. Yeah, you see the book hat that C5's got on. Really, really clean. I really like the script. I'm a big fan of that, actually. Going to have to get me one of them. But, yes, please go to AUShirts.com. And I've been saying it every show, and you might agree with me on this, but go get something from AUShirts.com, post it on your social media, tag us, and we'd love to shout you out on the show. We love seeing people supporting AUShirts.
May throw you a discount code. May throw you a coupon code for doing it. So
yeah. Just hop in there, do what you need to do, and tag us. You see our Twitter handles down below, or just tag the barn or both, all the above. And we'd love to see you rep your gear from AUShirts.com. Again, that is AUShirts.com. Then we also have BuyAuburn.com as well. Be who you say you are. Do business with Auburn people everywhere at BuyAuburn.com. Basically, if you are saying that you're part of the Auburn family and you love the Auburn family, do business with the Auburn family. Go to BuyAuburn.com and check out the massive index of Auburn-owned businesses run by Auburn people everywhere. So, for example, if you're in Atlanta for the Baylor-Auburn game and you want to go to a sports bar and you go to BuyAuburn.com, you say, hey, there's a sports bar owned by somebody that is an Auburn person. Let's go support them, give them our business, and go to the game and War Eagle and support them, share it, let them know we were there, and you know, just keep it growing. I really like the concept of this website. So what's holding you back from going to buyauburn.com? Absolutely nothing. Again, that is buyauburn.com if you want to get in on all the action on anything local business happening with Auburn. And that goes for just any, that's not just sports bars. It, you know, we're talking real estate,
insurance agents, real estate agents, landscape companies,
construction
companies, doesn't matter.
It's a vast index, and you will not regret checking out buyauburn.com. That being said, we move on to another point in this bill or this act. I guess it's a bill technically. So 5 years to play, no pros, hard salary cap, 1 year free transfer enforced by antitrust exemptions. Kyle, I'll throw it to you. What are your thoughts?
So the 5 years is obviously, we've been talking about that mm-hmm. for a while. 5 years to play five. I'm cool with that.
Me too. Okay? Me
too. What was the second one?
The second one was no pros.
No pros. So essentially no more European basketball players.
Right. Right. Basically. And that's what we talked about that in a show before, because it was proposed and the timing was bad, which that will be enforced this year, obviously, right? If this is, you know, being talked about.
No, this one would not. Now, I don't mm-hmm. know about this other one that they're working on. Like that one, mm-hmm. there's one that the NCAA is trying to push through that could be kind of squirrely, I would imagine. And it's because of the last piece you mentioned, mm-hmm. The antitrust exemptions. I would imagine anything that the NCAA tries to push through right now will be open to lawsuits because they don't have those antitrust protections right now. So on the surface, I don't really mind that. I think they worded it away for them to get around it if they wanted to. They said something about if you were paid by prize money, mm-hmm. you're still good. But if it's like a salary and a contract, you'd be out. So could the European, you know, clubs and pro leagues, could they finagle things to where mm-hmm. it's labeled as prize money versus your game checks? I don't know. I don't necessarily mind that one too much. I think everybody's just trying to take advantage of a loophole currently right now as best they can. And then, you know, you'll just have to adjust. I'm not really bothered too much by that one.
Yeah, no. And I've said this before too, back when everything was going on with, you know, midseason, like the Baylor guy and then Alabama bringing back Betty Ocko. And, you know, people were saying, well, you know, Auburn's got a European player and this team has European players. And well, my thing is the rule was if you sign up anything NBA related and you forgo your eligibility, you're done. You're done. You can't come back. And they kept, you know, poking the bear. And, you know, now it's been brought to the attention of the big dogs. And now everything's being put into place to basically just say a pro in general cannot play. And I said before, I'm fine with that. If that's the rule,
if that's the rule, that's fine.
Cool.
That's not the current rule.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got plenty to choose from. You're trying to circumvent the current rules. So I don't have a problem with that one. What's the next one?
The next one is hard salary cap.
So this one is interesting to me because I think there was something else in there on like an agent registry, like agents have to be agents and they only get like a 5%. They have a 5% cap. Mm-hmm. And I compared that to the NFL, and this is a long way home, but I'll get there.
Yeah.
That's only in the NFL, that 3% agent cap is only on their contract. Okay. Their endorsements, they can get as much as they want, 10, 20%, whatever. Well, is that 5% only going to be on the rev share? And then what happens with the NIL portion over and above? Like, that's where I want to see how this mechanism works. Like, how do you legislate the endorsement part of it?
Yeah.
Because we already kind of have a cap. You know what I mean? Like, we already kind of have a rev share cap.
Yeah.
How does that work on the NIL side? Now, if it's to the point where you say, we're going to say that as a college player, you can't make more than $1 million combined no matter what, and we're going to use antitrust exemptions to enforce that. I don't know what that looks like. Does that mean like now they can have to turn over their bank records and expenditures over like a certain amount and so on and so forth? Like, I guess they can do that.
And that creates a whole nother level of problems too if you start doing that.
Yeah, you're going to bring back the dark money. You're going to bring back the cash, the Walmart sack or the McDonald's bags of cash, which I'm actually okay with because like then we're only talking like 20 grand in cash or 10 grand in cash. Like we're not talking about $1 million in cash. Like you can't hide.
Yeah, you can't. That's a lot of
$1 million in cash.
Yeah, that's a lot of Happy Meals. You bring in boxes and boxes and boxes of cash. I agree. I think it'd be, I don't know how exactly they're going to implement that, but I
like the idea.
I do too. I've been saying before that I think there should be a limit on how much one player for whatever sport should earn. Cause I think one guy getting paid $5-6 million, you know, to play when you never know he's going to come back, you know, the following year is kind of ridiculous.
So I just don't want to, I don't want to be in a world where essentially it's just whoever spends the most wins. Like Texas's roster is going to be almost $50 million this year. You know, Texas A&M, their roster is going to be like $40 million.
Mm-hmm.
LSU's roster is going to be over $40 million. Auburn just can't do that.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, we can get close and we can be respectable. We just don't have the market share. Like, Auburn's just a small market. It's going to be really tough to go up against, like, an Austin, Texas, you know, University of Texas, when you got an Austin Lamborghini dealership right there. And honestly, it justifies the sponsorship justifies the money because of how many people are in that market. So I don't want to be in that world, but at the same time, like, I just don't know how you, I don't know how you enforce it. But that's the thing is, Hunter, you can come up with a million rules.
Yeah.
If you can't enforce them, you know, and not get sued over it, then you're just wasting everybody's time. So if these antitrust exemptions make it to where they can actually subpoena people and enforce the rules without fear of repercussion, then I guess I'm all for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm all for it too. As long as it just, I know that in my mind, the perfect world is like, eventually we'll get back to how college sports were.
And that's never going to happen.
That's never going to happen again, especially since this Pandora's box has been open with NIL. So the next one, and before we move on to the next, is 1 year free transfer. And that, you know, also enforced by antitrust exemptions. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm torn on this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
Because if a player can only transfer once and then they can't transfer again, what happens? And I don't want to throw this kid on the bus. I wish him the best. But like, what happens if you get a Jackson Arnold?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with him? You're stuck with him.
I mean,
so like you can't, he can't go anywhere else. And I don't assume, I mean, are you going to be able to just cut people? Are you just going to be able to fire them and then they can't play football? Like, how does that work?
That's a mess. So
it goes both ways. Like, I hate the idea of kids coming and going, but if on the flip side, what if you get stuck with a TJ Finley?
Oh, man, don't even
you know, and you can't do anything, and now he's got that roster spot. Sure, you could reduce his money, mm-hmm. I would assume, but like he's still gonna hold that roster spot. So I'm wondering if this is even necessary when you can, I guess if you have antitrust exemptions and enforceable, you can have enforceable contracts now. I'm wondering if that rule is even necessary. Like, pick and choose the kids you want to sign to a 2-year deal, and it's a real 2-year deal. A big boy 2-year deal is bound on both sides. Your performance is bound, and then, hey, the money's bound. So if you're a bust after year one, it's a 2-year deal. We owe you that second year, and then we can renegotiate or you can go elsewhere. I wonder if that 1-year transfer deal, I feel like, could get kind of squirrely. I feel like it would make roster management a little bit tougher.
It would definitely be tougher because you have to really look into, like, is this person A, good enough to stay on the field? B, like, you have to like the scouting has to be almost nearly perfect. I feel like, am I wrong?
Yeah, you've got no room for error.
Yeah,
because you only got 105 roster spots now.
Yeah, and again, I'm with you. I don't want to throw him under the bus too much, but like, if you're stuck with a Jackson Arnold and he, you know, he's not playing, he's riding the pine, like, the only thing he's good for is doing, you know, influencer commercials for Dude Wipes at that point. And then, like, hey, what?
Hey, fire it up. I love Dude Wipes. Go, make all the money you can.
Yeah, big fan of Dude Wipes. But it's just like, it starts to create a mess on your roster because you, like you said, you have a spot that you can't fill because there's someone still there. They can't, unless you, like you're saying, what are you going to do? Fire them and tell them you can't play college football again? Like,
yeah, I don't think they can do that.
No, because then again, because the NCAA loves to be sued, and that would just be an immediate, I feel like, lawsuit waiting to happen. But that's just me.
Yeah. I don't know. If you can do enforceable contracts, I don't even care how many times they can transfer.
Mm-hmm.
That don't bother me.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. So the last one, collective TV rights pooling. What are your thoughts on this?
I hate everything about this. This screams communism is what this screams to me. You're telling me that Utah State should be eligible to have the same share of a pooled collective group of TV money as Ohio State?
No.
And maybe there will be some sort of sliding scale from like enrollment or, you know, TV viewership or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like maybe your TV viewership gets you X amount of whatever. Like maybe they work it that way, but that's not really the way it sounds. And here's the other thing I saw is like they only need 75% of the 138 schools to opt into that, according to this bill, to essentially make it like where there's no, you don't have any option. Well, that means that the SEC and the Big Ten, every single school could opt out and it still goes through by like three or four schools, like if all the other ones go through. So in one way, I can understand how it's good because it really does level the playing field. Like it really does like make it to where everybody's going to have access to more funds.
Parity, yeah.
Yeah, which I guess is fine. But on the other side, like the mystique and the, you know, the prestige of going and playing for the SEC or playing for the Big Ten is because there's money there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, Auburn benefits from that. So does it hurt you as a conference from a prestige level if, you know, now – I guess I'm kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth because I just said I didn't want it to be where like the team that makes the most money can, you know, spend the most money and win. But I don't know. I just don't like that. I don't like the idea. I feel like this could hurt more than it would help, although I do agree that it would probably achieve more parity.
Yeah, no, I agree. Whenever you start to get the corporate people involved in this, this is when it starts to get kind of hairy to me. And this is one of those examples. I get wanting to have parity, but when you have two conferences, in my opinion, that, I mean, if you look at college football right now, the best two conferences are obviously the SEC and the Big Ten. So it's crazy to me, like you were saying the percent, I can't remember the exact number off the top of my head right now, but you were saying if both the Big Ten and SEC, all those schools are like, no, you know, vote no to this, and the rest of college, you know, then
that's the 75%.
No, yeah, you have no say. Like, that's it. So, again, it's a mess. It's a mess. It's just welcome to the new
their era. The goal of this bill is to keep it from the top schools being able to just buy their way to a championship. And I will say this, that last piece may be the most vital to helping level the playing field.
Yeah.
So honestly, you know, now that I think about it, that may help. It actually may help Auburn because I think I think Golish from an X's and O's standpoint is going to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
Can Auburn get the players is going to be the question. But maybe that's maybe that helps Auburn where it's like now the guy that's going to go to Texas, great example here, Reed Ramsier. He just announced it's between Auburn and Texas.
Yes.
Okay. He's a highly rated interior offensive lineman. It's between Auburn and Texas. Auburn may win out regardless, but this feels like Auburn's going to be ahead of the game in Texas as far as playing time. Like he could probably get on the field a lot earlier. I think it's going to be a fun system to play in. You got another guy that's a high four-star already signed. So like if the money's the same, like maybe he chooses Auburn.
Yeah.
You know, but we know the money's probably not going to be probably not going to be the same. That may make it to where that kid is more of an Auburn, you know, possibly an Auburn lean. Now, what it also will do is it'll loop Arizona in, and it'll loop Mississippi State in. And when, you know, the money's equal across the board. But you know what? That may be the best that may be the best thing to do overall. I don't know. It just screams communism to me.
Yeah, no, I get that. Cause I'm one of these people that if it's, you know, one or two teams every year, like you remember the, I guess you could say the mid 2010s, you know, that 2014 to 2017, it was either Bama or Clemson every year or Ohio State. It's like, yeah. You know, it's like, you, like the season was about to start. It's like, well, we already know who's going to make it, you know, and it just was like, not fun. I'm more for, I want it to be so like, no one had Indiana winning this past season. You know,
yeah,
no
exactly. One had that. Exactly.
So I'm okay with parity. It's just, I don't want there to be like, you know, if Auburn has a highly sought after recruit and it's like, oh goodness, here comes Arizona or Mississippi State. It's like, ugh, no.
Well, you would think Auburn should beat out them.
They should.
Regardless. Yeah. Like even if all the money's the same.
Right.
You know?
Right. No, I agree. I agree 100%.
Maybe it helps. I don't know. That just works. Anytime you talk about equally distributing funds, I get chills and I'm like in hives and I want to run the other way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just, it does scream communism. It literally is blatantly communism. There you go. But that being said, that was kind of the main points we wanted to hit on today. If you like what you're watching and listening to, please follow and subscribe to The Barn. It is your number one spot for anything and everything Auburn. And check out the other podcasts like the show you're listening to now, The Barn Social Hour. You also have the Top Button Podcast with this dude who's right beside me right here, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five. You have Village Vice with Zach Blackerby and Brad Law. You have the baseball show. You have the basketball show.
All kinds of stuff, man.
You have Landing on the Plains with Chandler Wooten, which is killing it right now. Shout out
to had a Ryan, show with Ryan Davis.
Yes.
And that was there were some really cool stories in there.
Yes. Yes. So please go check that out if you have not. We love old Chan on here. I'm a big Chandler Wooten fan. But with that being said, I don't have anything else. Kyle, you got anything you want to add?
No, I'm cool. Good, man.
Cool. Well, as always, thank you for watching The Barn Social Hour. Graham should be back tomorrow. He is stuck on a roof somewhere right about now. So he will be back tomorrow and we'll have a fun Friday. But other than that, my name is Hunter Bussey. Next to me is Kyle Rush, and this has been The Barn Social Hour. War damn.